Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks so much for being here with us on this Friday afternoon or Friday evening or maybe Saturday morning where you are. It's National Adoption Month, and I love talking about adoption, and I love talking with our next guest, Kimberly Henkel. So I do want to let you know if you have been thinking about it and maybe you have a question about how to discern that, if your family's ready for it or if you're ready for it or you just want to ask about what it's like to adopt a child, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Kimberly is the founder of Springs of Love and the co-founder of Springs in the Desert, and I'll let her tell you about what both of those things are, but you've been here with us before and talked a little bit about them. Welcome back, Kimberly Henkel.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be back.
It's very, very nice to have you. I'm so glad we're going to get to talk about adoption a bit. We'll maybe talk about fostering children as well. The Catholic community in the United States has an extraordinary resource in its married couples, in its families. And I don't think they always know about the need that is out there for fostering and adoption.
Sure, absolutely. Well, right now there are over 400,000 children in foster care. And there's about 100,000 children. There's actually over 100,000 children who are awaiting adoption. So there are so many children right now who are in need. And, you know, that's why we created Springs of Love, is to try to really mobilize the Catholic community to take care of these kiddos, to get involved. You know, maybe you aren't called to foster or adopt, but you could still get involved. And so we have different ideas of ways to get involved on our website at springsoflove.org. But, you know, starting a ministry in your parish to either support adoptive families, foster families, to create a care team, like a foster team surrounding a foster family, to provide a meal for them once a week and transportation and really getting involved with, just really like a wraparound community of support for a foster family.
Yeah. What a wonderful idea. So tell me, first of all, let's just talk about Springs of Love for a minute. It was founded when and what's the purpose of it?
Sure. So first of all, actually, my co-founder for Springs in the Desert, Ann Koschut, and I had gone to grad school together at the JP2 Institute and then found ourselves individually struggling with infertility. We ran into each other at a conference and decided, we were invited actually to write a paper that ended up, by the end of the time we wrote the paper, we decided somebody needs to do something to accompany those who are struggling with infertility. We just felt so isolated. So we started Springs in the Desert, and that is a ministry to specifically accompany couples struggling with infertility and helping them to kind of go through that grief, find God in the midst of it, find out that God is really truly calling their marriage to a beautiful fruitfulness and helping them to find that fruitfulness. So in my life, in my marriage with my husband, we ended up moving in the direction of fostering. We, you know, after several years of just really praying and asking the Lord, you know, what his plan was for our marriage, we felt called to just look into foster care. We weren't exactly sure.
Yeah.
So we just started taking the classes, like baby steps. And through that process, it just opened our eyes to the need, the huge need for loving Catholic, Christian, loving families to surround these children. Because, you know, we know that the only one who can heal us is Jesus. And these children need Jesus desperately. And they need families who will just come alongside of them and love them with their whole hearts. And so, we ended up going that route in fostering and adopting ourselves. And so we were blessed to be able to foster two boys that we got to adopt, both of them. And then we adopted twin girls as well. So we were able to adopt four kids, which was such a gift, you know. But our ministry has been around for about a year now, Springs of Love. And the mission is really to encourage, educate, and equip Catholics to discern and live out that call to foster and adopt.
If you'd like to talk with Kimberly, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Say someone's listening and they think, I want to find out about this Springs of Love thing. Where do they go?
Yeah, if you just go to our website, springsoflove.org. We also are on Instagram and Facebook. And And if you go to Formed, we have a video series, Formed and actually EWTN On Demand. They both are featuring our Springs of Love foster and adoption stories. So you can, you know, we just felt like one of the best ways to sort of introduce the idea of fostering and adopting to people is through stories, right? We all love a good story. And so often our ideas of what fostering and adoption are have been really formed by movies we've watched, TV shows, and we may not even know anybody who has been fostering. I mean, I just felt like in my church, I didn't know anybody who was fostering. And so, you know, we wanted to share beautiful stories, uplifting stories of people just finding such joy and fruitfulness through fostering and adopting.
888-318-7884 is our number, 888-318-7884. I want to make an association, and you tell me if this is an unfair association to make, but it does seem that we in the Catholic community, Catholics are a big part of the pro-life community. We're encouraging moms to take these children to term, but are we stepping up when it comes to adopting and fostering these children?
Yeah. Well, right now, I think it's really a positive step. You know, USCCB has this focus on radical solidarity with birth moms and moms. Well, it's really walking with moms, right? And so the idea that, you know, we don't just care about the baby, because that can be the, you know, kind of the argument that, right, well, you're not caring about the mother at all. But, you know, to really show like everything John Paul II spoke about with women in crisis pregnancy, he's like, we must walk with the women, you know, we need to be with them. And so being with them through the birth of their child and then beyond, you know, helping counsel them and advise them and walk with them. And a mother who chooses an adoption, like being able to support her after that, right? So this is something we're kind of in the works with Springs of Love, is trying to develop resources and such to help women after they've placed their child for adoption, just to continue to find peace in that. And I think that one of the ways we can do this is by really applauding these women and seeing these women as heroes, because this is just the most selfless act of love to carry a child in your womb for 9 months, to bond so much, so intimately with that child, and then to know that, you know, perhaps you aren't the best for that child, you know, and to find a family. There's so many loving, wonderful families who would love to adopt, and to place that child with a loving, you know, family who will just, you know, love and be able to provide everything that you want for that child. But, you know, we have to just really recognize these women are heroes.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because we do need to recognize that these women are heroes. Especially in this day and age, this is a choice that they made to give someone else life. They didn't just, you know, fumble into giving, because there's ways that are quite convenient for them to not give that person life. To do that is to be a hero, really one of the great heroes of the modern world, and we should be celebrating them and assisting them.
Absolutely. And to show them that they're not giving up on their child, right?
No.
That they are actually giving them the most loving, they're doing the most mothering thing they can possibly do, right? Mm-hmm. Is to put that child first and the needs of that child first. To show these women that they are really amazing mothers, that they chose the best path that they could for their child.
Our guest is Kimberly Henkel. We're talking about adoption because it's National Adoption Month. Maybe it's International Adoption Month too. I don't know. I know we have listeners all over the world. They probably have adoption where you live, so it's a good show for you as well. She's the founder of Springs of Love. You can find them at springsoflove.org. If you've got a question you'd like to ask, you're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more conversation about adoption from a Catholic perspective on Catholic Answers Live.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN offers listeners and viewers the daily readings to enable you to accompany the Mass of the day. Our Catholic daily readings include the readings of the day, along with online videos. It's a great resource for all who desire to live a life of faith that is pleasing to our Lord. Visit EWTN.com and click Catholicism. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am so happy to get to do this hour where we get to talk about adoption. I feel like that's somewhere, somehow this is going to make a difference in the lives of a lot of people because you talk about the adoption triad, Kimberly. Kimberly Henkel, our guest, the founder of Springs of Love. And so that every adoption has the possibility in it to change in a beautiful way lots of lives.
Yes.
Well, tell me about the adoption triad, if you would.
Yeah, so when we talk about that concept was completely foreign to me until my husband and I first started taking adoption classes and a birth mother came and gave a testimony. And before that, I had not really even thought much about the birth mother. You know, I guess I had just thought, okay, she's chosen adoption and she, you know, hands the baby over and I, you know, it kind of seemed like, okay, then that, you know, her part of the story is over. And, you know, I mean, that was just sort of like kind of my thought, you know, I didn't really know much about it. But we began to learn, you know, we talk about the adoption triad because these three parties, the adoptee, who's the central focal point, obviously, of the adoption, the birth families and the adoptive families are now forever linked, right? They're forever linked. So it's this beautiful thing that we acknowledge the birth family. You know, years ago, we had a lot of closed adoptions and there were so many people just searching for their birth families and there was so much pain, right? Because a lot of these records were closed. We used to think it was better that children just not know that they were adopted or not know anything about their birth families. And we kind of just dismissed that. You know, we talk about the women who they got pregnant and they were whisked away to have these basically secret births. And then the child was just taken and placed and the woman would come back and nobody even knew she had had a child. You know, this, we look back on this as like, this was a really troubled time.
Yeah. The message, the underlying message of all that is one of just terrible shame.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, and it's just dismissing like this whole aspect of an adoptee's life. And it's like, they have a birth family that they will, you know, they share genetics with, they share a cultural identity, they share, you know, all of these things. And if we just ignore that and pretend like it doesn't exist and, well, you have a new family, we don't need to think about your birth family, that's a problem. Are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
So what, okay, sorry.
You think I gave up on you? No,
okay.
I'm tired of this, Kimberly. Get her off. No, we're still here. Yes. Go ahead.
No, but so with the adoption triad, like I said, you know, it's taking into account the players, right? So,
yeah.
So, and we're finding that adoptees fare much better when they know something about their birth family, you know, that it's not just shrouded in secrecy, that they know information about their birth families, that perhaps they can meet birth siblings, birth parents, you know, depending on the degree of openness everybody chooses and
sure.
is comfortable with. But they always seem to fare much better when they have this information. And I think another piece is that a lot of times adoptees can feel like they're betraying their adoptive families to want to know about their birth families.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, I speak to my children all the time, just like, I want you to feel comfortable with telling me, you know, asking me any questions at all. You know, if you have any questions, like, let me know, because they shouldn't feel afraid to do that. And I don't want them to think that I feel threatened by those questions.
I can tell you from experience in my own family that our daughter has had a relationship with her birth relatives, and it's not as weird as I think some people think. I think there's a kind of fear that we're all in this together, and look, you're still the parents of this kid.
Absolutely.
You're still going to go through all the moods and everything. Like, you really don't have to worry about that.
No, my kids are always, and it's funny because I said to my son one time in the car, I was like, so what would you say if somebody asked you who your real mother was?
Yeah.
And he said, well, Mama Mary, of course, which I thought was awesome. But my daughter said the other day, she said, you know, Mommy, some people have asked me who my real mother is. And I said, oh, what do you say? And she's like, well, you, of course.
Yeah.
Which is funny, right? Because I was like, yeah, you have like two real mothers, right? I mean, you have me and then you have your birth mother. But yeah. You know, my kids don't see, that's what has been, I think, the biggest surprise for me as an adoptive mother. Originally, I did feel that, oh gosh, I don't want to really talk about this. And, you know, this is hard for me because I feel like they're mine. I mean, I just feel so bonded with them that
right.
It doesn't feel like they didn't come from me. You know, I feel like they're my children. And I always wondered if I would feel, you know, threatened. I thought I would, but my kids, like, we talk about their birth mamas. I call them birth mamas now. I'm so like comfortable.
Right.
And you know, I'm their mother, you know, they see that.
Yeah.
But they still love, and
I
you
do
know,
think
they,
there's that
they love
fear.
The birth mother for choosing life.
Right. You know? But the fear does, it's not what you think it's going to be.
Right.
And I can testify to that. It's not what you think it's going to be. And don't put too much anxiety into it if you're thinking about adopting. The fact that many adoptions now have some degree of openness, some quite open, it's not as difficult or to negotiate as you might be worrying about. The number is 888-318-7884. Kimberly, we got people on the line who'd like to talk with you. Shall we take some calls?
Sure. Great.
I will remind people it's National Adoption Month, and the Catholic Church is full of a wonderful resource called Catholic Men and Women who can do this. And if you have been thinking about, or maybe it's been on your heart to start thinking about adoption or foster care, today we're just trying to move that a little farther along in your thinking process. I know many people who have discerned this and for various reasons have discerned they could not. And that's part of the discernment process, or we're not in a position to, or it wasn't what they were called to. Others might be surprised to find it is what they're called to. And it's a great joy to be called to adoptive parenthood. So that's what this hour is about. We're delighted to have Kimberly Henkel with us. So we'll go to Sarah now in Minneapolis, Minnesota, watching on YouTube. Sarah, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. I recently got involved in pro-life ministries here in Minneapolis and found myself in conversations where the pro-abortion person opposite me's claim is that, well, the adoption and foster care system is broken, so that's why we should be pro-choice. So I was wondering if you could offer me more perspective on the adoption systems and then resources that I can use to kind of expand my own knowledge of, I guess, the system that I don't know much about.
Sarah, thank you very much. Kimberly?
Sure. So I think primarily she's probably talking about the foster care system because, and that is certainly broken. It's a governmental system. And it used to be that children who didn't have parents would be in an orphanage, but our country decided that it was better for children to be with families instead of in an institution, of course. So we started the foster care system. But certainly, I mean, you know, it's problematic, right? There are times when children go back to families that are not safe and healthy, and then they get put back into care. Sometimes children are moved from house to house to house to house. Sometimes there's just not enough foster families, which is really the biggest problem right now. And these children are just put into group homes with perhaps, you know, some troubled teenagers, but they have no other home for the children. So they're put into, you know, wherever they can find a place to put them. And so that's all the heartache, right? This is why Catholics really need to step up. These are God's children, and we need to be the ones being the solution to these problems. I mean, to the best of our ability, right? I mean, certainly there's just going to be, you know, there's judges making good decisions, there's judges making bad decisions. I know plenty of people who have had children who have gone back home to families where it wasn't the best, and the children came back into care and they were able to come back to their family, which ends up, you know, it's a bit of a trauma for the child, but for them to be able to come back to the same family is wonderful, right? So this is why Catholics need to get involved. If we had more good, safe, loving homes for these children, we would have a lot less problems. But the adoption system, you know, when you say the adoption system, I mean, adoption, you know, we have like private agencies, public agencies. There's not really an adoption system per se. So I think when people are talking about that, they're mostly talking about the foster care system. And yes, reform is needed. And there are a lot of people out there that are trying to get involved with that. And that's something else, you know, for Catholics to get involved with.
Well, let me ask you this then. If it's coming from the pro-choice or pro-life kind of debate perspective, as far as the woman who is pregnant, if she says, I'm going to give life to this child, I'm not in a position to raise this child, is she coming into a broken system, or are there, like, no. For example, if she went to a pregnancy help center and said, I need help putting the child up for adoption, would that work?
Yeah, you're right. There's so many loving families ready to adopt. So if a woman is choosing an adoption, she is going to be able to find a ton of families who are open and wanting to adopt that child. So that is not really, I would say that is not really a problem. So I guess that's what I would say to somebody saying, well, you know, what's going to happen to this child if a woman chooses adoption? You could just say, well, there are so many loving, wonderful families who are waiting to adopt. And that, you know, but I think if she's talking about women choosing birth who really can't raise the child on their own and are afraid to choose adoption and trying to raise that child themselves, and then they end up getting that child taken from them through foster care, I mean, that's another scenario. But these women, even in that situation, could still, before the state would get custody, they could choose an adoption path. So I know families who have done that. I know birth families who have they've been investigated by Children's Services. They were really not able to take good care of their children, and they found loving families to adopt their children.
Sarah, was that helpful to you?
Yeah. Do you have any resources of places I can start looking to just learn more? I did get your website.
Yeah, come to our website. I mean, we're putting a lot of resources on there. And if there's something that you're looking for that's not on there, shoot me an email, Kimberly@springsoflove.org, and ask me. And I'll be happy to do some research to help you find that information.
Sarah, thank you very much for the call. Suddenly all the lines are full, so we're going to keep moving and let people talk with our guest, Kimberly Hengel from Springs of Love, which you can find at springsoflove.org. Maura in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on AM 1260, The Rock. Welcome, Maura. Go ahead with your question for Kimberly.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
No, happy to.
I was just wondering, my husband and I are retired, 67 and 68, and I know we probably couldn't adapt, but is there anything at our ages that we could help out with, or, you know, with maybe with foster families or adopted families? Or
Maura, what a great question. Is there, Kimberly?
Absolutely. You know, I've been talking with people about being like foster grandparents, and there's a great need for that. Something that is easy to do, well, I don't want to say easy, but it's much easier than fostering, is to become a respite foster family. So you can sign up, go through the training, and be a respite provider so that a foster family, perhaps they're going out of town for a few days, they need a few days break, and the children would come to you. And you can develop a relationship with several foster families and have their children come back to your home on a regular basis and really be like the grandparents to these children. And I mean, that would be such an amazing gift, right? Because these children, that's what we need. We need more families stepping up to be not just the foster families, but to be extended family for these children who a lot of times have maybe never really known the love and warmth and security of a stable family. So to be able to offer that, it would be an amazing gift.
Maura, what do you think?
Good. That sounds great. Should I just contact like the Catholic agency here in Cleveland about that? Or
yeah, you can just call your local foster care agency and say that you would like to find out about being a respite provider.
Maura, what a wonderful question. I'm sure that many people had it. That was extremely helpful. It's National Adoption Month. We know that there are lots of moms and kids who are in need of assistance, who are in need of those who will step up. We talk about it, but here's your opportunity to learn about it. Kimberly Hinkle is our guest. Your calls welcome. 888-31-TRUTH.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
Is relativism dead? It sure seems dead. Each day, new moral demands are made and they are presented to us as absolutes. Everything from transgender ideology to physician-assisted suicide is presented as a moral good that all right-thinking people must accept. But Catholic Answers' own Carla Broussard says look deeper, and you will see today's moralism is just relativism dressed up in new clothes. Carla's eye-opening book, The New Relativism, shines a light on how the sacred moral teachings of this age cover up a deep denial of moral truth. Order your copy of The New Relativism today at shop.catholic.com and be prepared to defend the truth against aggressive relativism. The New Relativism at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
Matt Swaim here. Monday on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll look at this week in Catholic history with Kevin Schmiesing, plus all the latest news, weather, sports, and more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. Just look around. You can see the world is in a mess, and sometimes we're at our wit's end about what can we do to help. And one of those the things you can do is consider helping a child and maybe helping a mom or another family through foster care and adoption. And it's National Adoption Month, and Kimberly Hinkle, our guest, four adopted children. Is that, am I correct in saying that?
Yes. Yeah.
Four adopted children, including the magnificent person I met earlier today.
Little JP.
He is something. He likes talking into a microphone. I can tell you that. I like that guy.
He's a natural.
Yeah, he was very, very nice. Well, let me ask you a couple things, and I'm going to go back to the phones. And I'll tell you what, the lines have opened up while we went to the break. So you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. If this is a topic of interest to you, we would love to take your call, 888-318-7884. I want to get past one thing, though, with you. Look, adoption is so expensive. We can't afford it. We just can't. So you've heard this objection, I imagine. Yeah. What do you say to the person who says, I couldn't afford to adopt a child, even though I feel like maybe I'm called to it. I just couldn't afford that.
Right. Yeah. People just, a lot of times will just close the door because that's what they think. And we are trying to dispel some of the myths of adoption on our website. So you can go there and look through some of those myths, but that's number one, is it's just too expensive. And we just want to say, not always, right? Not always. So right now you can adopt at no cost at all through the state. So there are, like I said, there's over 100,000 children awaiting adoption through the state, through like the public agencies, and it does not cost anything to adopt those children. It's also not going to cost anything to foster to adopt. So, you know, not every state does that, but I live in Ohio and our state allows foster to adopt. So we were able to foster newborn babies who then became eligible for adoption that we were, you know, who we were able to adopt. So that's another situation. And they paid all of the expenses. So there were no fees whatsoever involved with those adoptions. But then there are other creative ways. For example, you know, there are some different crowd raising platforms out there. And we have this information like on our website of some of these. There's an organization called Both Hands, and it says a couple will do a service project for a widow to raise funds for an orphan. So, you know, for their adoption expenses. I thought that was pretty clever, right?
That's very clever. Widows and orphans. That's very biblical.
I know. It is, isn't it? Both hands. So there's that. And there are all these other different ideas. You know, I have to just say that the evangelicals, they are out there. Everybody, you know, a lot of times when you go to a big evangelical church, there's a ton of people adopting and they're doing fundraisers and events and selling T-shirts. And, you know, it's just more a part of their culture. And that's what I would love to see more of in the Catholic Church, where we are, all of us are helping to fund each other's adoptions and getting involved with that. So that's, you know, that's another possibility. There's employers who will give, who will give money for adoptions as well and help out with that. There's tax benefits. So don't just discount it entirely. Like, we can never afford it. And I know there are some adoption agencies out there that are very, 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 very affordable. So you have to kind of do your research, but there are some out there, and it would be beautiful if there were more Catholics starting adoption agencies as nonprofits and being able to get the costs, you know, very low so that it would be more affordable. I think this would be something of a great, you know, a great ministry for somebody who's very pro-life, you know, to start doing an adoption agency that you know, is very low cost and affordable.
Again, the number 888-318-7884. Kimberly Henkel is our guest. I was going to say you could give the website again, but I could give the website. I can remember what it is. No, I can't remember what it is. Springsofloveorg, though. I got scared that I was going to, see, because I do that, Kimberly, that pretty much everybody who's on, I say the wrong email, wrong web address. But all right, I actually would have got that one correct. But Pamela in South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio, we're awful glad you're here. Pamela, go ahead with your question.
Hi, Cy. Pamela from the photographer from the Rome Pilgrimage.
Pamela, Kimberly, this is an old friend of mine. We went on pilgrimage to Rome together 4 years ago. Yeah. Pamela, nice. Very nice to talk with you.
Great. Nice to talk to you, too. Well, I'm calling today because we have a 19-year-old daughter that we adopted from South Korea. We got her at 5 months old because I was nursing a child. I was able to nurse her the day we got her. We co-slept with her, so we had a very strong relationship, even though she was very stubborn. And at 11, she found some paperwork that incorrectly translated that she had been abandoned by her mother, which was not true. And from then on, we saw some really strong rejection issues.
Like
when anyone appears to step out of her life, her reaction is visceral hatred. And we homeschool, and my number one reason to homeschool is because I love Jesus, and I want my kids to love Jesus in their Catholic faith. We're super involved in our faith, the daily mass, all of that. And I taught not only the church teaching, but I kind of gushed daily on my love for Jesus. And my biological kids are very strong Catholics. She rejected the Catholic faith about a year and a half or so ago because her best friend, they had falling out. And the girl was bad-mouthing her to all her Catholic friends. At least my daughter thinks that. So she started to lean on some Protestant friends. And I think they worked on her. And now she's decided she's Protestant. She's recently moved out because she's 19. And so we can no longer, you know, force her to go to Mass. And she is also dating a young man in that church that they're, you know, looking seriously in the future. And we both told her that we love her, but we cannot attend a wedding if she gets married outside the Catholic Church. It would go against our conscience to attend an invalid wedding. And so she's very angry. She feels abandoned. Our hearts are breaking. And you know, I've sent her things, but she's so stubborn that I don't know if she can read them. And so I don't know if rejection issues, I would assume, can be very common in kids that have been adopted. So I didn't know if you had any advice.
Okay. Well, I'm really sorry you're going through that. And yeah, that must be really hard. You know, we are getting ready to do a parenting class on November 10th. We'll be doing a parenting class at 7 p.m. And this is, I don't know if you've heard of this kind of parenting philosophy, but it's called Trust-Based Relational Intervention, TBRI. Now, I know your daughter is much older, so, you know, I don't know that this will really apply as much for her. But I think it would be helpful, like, even if you would just come and meet the Catholic counselor, Jody Gottemuller, is just absolutely amazing. And she has extensive knowledge of just counseling in adopt, you know, with fostering and adopting adoptive families. And I think, you know, she might be able to have more sort of insight into, you know, just kind of talking more about that healing of that rejection wound. But you know, this is why I think, you know, we have to learn more, right? I mean, as adoptive families, we have to really educate ourselves as much as possible on how, you know, how to best help our children to heal. If they, particularly if they are feeling that sort of rejection wound, you know, we raise them in the faith, we raise them with the sacraments and all of that. But there is need also for, you know, some other, you know, methods. And I just think this, I think so highly of this this TBRI method, that it is really an attachment-based style of parenting, which it sounds like you did. I mean, right, you were co-sleeping and all of that. So, but it's this attachment style that is really a notion of connection before correction, so that you're really, so that child doesn't feel that, you know, rejection from you. Because like you did say, there can be like an underlying rejection issue for children who have been adopted. And so, anyway, this philosophy, we're really just, you know, encouraging people to come to this class and learn a little bit about it. And hopefully we'll be able to offer more kind of parenting situation, you know, parenting classes and such to really, you know, be able to help people to kind of walk through these challenging situations.
Springsoflove.org is the place to go. Pamela, thank you very, very much. It brings us right to our break. There are still more folks on the line who would like to talk with Kimberly, and that makes me really happy because it's National Adoption Month, and we'd love it if you'd consider it. And if there's some things we can do to maybe remove some obstacles or help smooth out some bumps, we'd love to talk with you. 888-318-7884.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Dive deeper into your faith as renowned speakers examine pressing issues facing Catholics today. EWTN takes you to Napa, California for a special two-day event.
Oh, God has his way. God has his providence.
The whole point of the Christian life is love. Love of God and the love of everybody.
The annual Napa Institute Conference, beginning Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN-TV.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I love a Friday where we get to talk about something very, very positive. And adoption is a very, very positive thing. Millions and millions of lives have been saved and changed and helped. And that's the lives of birth parents and the lives of adoptive parents and the lives of all kinds of other relatives. And maybe most importantly, of all the lives of children who find families. Here to talk with us about that is the mother of four adopted children, Kimberly Hinkle. And the founder of a ministry to help families and children and to get Catholics more excited about this adoption and fostering opportunity that we have to really change lives. Springs of Love is the name of the ministry, and you can find it at springsoflove.org. Kimberly, still folks on the line. Shall we go back to the phones?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Joanne in Jefferson City, Missouri, listening on Covenant Radio. Joanne, thank you very much for the call. Go ahead with your question.
Well, I want to thank you so much for covering the topic. It's one that's very dear to my heart. I was adopted as an infant, and I have spent the last 30 years of my professional life with child welfare and juvenile justice.
Oh, how beautiful.
Yes. And I was a CASA program director for part of that time, and a CASA volunteer. So I wanted to share that resource with your listeners. If they cannot, consider fostering or adopting, they can certainly look for their local CASA organization. It's Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And take the training and be assigned to a child who's in the foster care system and, be their advocate throughout the case and just, walk along beside that child and, just advocate for what's in their best interest so that the system is less broken than what it was, prior.
I'm so grateful that you called. I'm so grateful. Kimberly, are you familiar with this program, the CASA program?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in and suggesting that, because we need Catholics in like all the spheres, right? And that would be wonderful. So thanks for that resource.
Well, the state can provide a lot for a child. A state can't really love a child, but people can come into the child's life who love them, some of whom work for the state, some of whom can be advocates in this way. So Joanne, maybe you could just say something about what you would need to do if you were a court-appointed advocate for a child.
Well, first of all, contact the group, and you can go to the national organization or on the website and find one that's closest to you, your judicial circuit, and apply, and they'll do a background check, and they'll offer you a training. And once you complete that, you will be appointed to a child, and you will receive information about that child's case, and you will go to all the hearings in court and with the Department of Children and Family or whatever it is called in your state, and you will meet that child, whether it's in the foster home or wherever they are placed, and just gather information, and you will be a person in that child's life who may have information that you can bring to the players, like the judge, the social workers, the guardian ad litem, and that may be they're too busy because they have caseloads, 15, 20, or so
right.
forth, that they may not have otherwise, but you are just focused on that one or that group of siblings that they cannot give their full attention to.
So you kind of can humanize the whole process for the child.
Absolutely.
Joanne, thanks very much. It's wonderful that you took the time to call. I appreciate it. Now, I am going to keep moving because there's more people, and we're getting nearer and nearer to the end. There's more people who would like to talk with our guest, Kimberly Hinkle. And we'll go to Vicki right here in California, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Vicki, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Kimberly.
Thank you. I am a faith community nurse and a retired intensive care unit nurse, and took care of infants and children as part of the work that I did. And I've been wondering for a while, what happens to the medically fragile children or the terminally ill children? Where are they taken care of? And are there opportunities to volunteer as fosters with these really sick kiddos?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I know a lot of nurses who end up becoming foster parents so that they can take care of these children, because you're right. I mean, I don't know where they go if they don't have somebody that's going to say yes to them. You know, a lot of times people are really afraid to take a medically fragile child. And yeah, nurses who have experience being able to take care of children who have those kind of needs are really desperately needed to be foster parents.
And do they just go through the same system everybody else does?
Yeah.
You just contact the county?
Yep. Yeah, and you just take the classes and get certified. And, I mean, that would be such a gift. I mean, that would be such a gift for those children.
Vicki, thank you very, very much. You know, there's a lot of good people out there, Kimberly, that would want to help. And I think sometimes it's just connecting those people with the information that they need to do it. If I were today to say, you know what, I'm interested in fostering a child, like tell me the office I would walk to, I would go to, and then how long that it would take, like for me to be kind of approved as someone who could be a foster parent or even an adoptive parent.
Sure. So, I mean, the process, the exact details will vary state by state, but you would call your local, you know, for us, it's called Job and Family Services in Ohio. So your local Job and Family Services, but, you know, you can look that up pretty easily. On our website, we have a list of state numbers and things. So you can go to our website and look up state information. So you call the agency and find out when the next training class, the classes are. So you just sign up for the classes. You start attending the classes. They'll do a background check on you, fingerprint. They will do a home study on you. And the whole process could take about maybe 6 months until you're approved. You know, I mean, it could be faster. You know, we just did a foster and adoption awareness event here in Columbus, and we had an agency that was a private agency, the Bear Foundation, was there, and they said, we can get you certified in a month.
Wow.
So I was like, wow, that's amazing. So
I don't even think I can get my house cleaned in a month.
I know, right?
I'm not sure that I could, Kimberly.
I know. I'm like, oh my goodness, you could have a child in your home that quickly. You know, it's amazing. So, but if you get through the state, you know, you take the classes, and I'll tell you, I thought the classes were amazing. I mean, I don't know, the Ohio ones were great. So I learned so much, and really, I mean, of course, there were some classes that, you know, I didn't exactly agree with, and you know, you just kind of say, okay, well, you know, I don't exactly agree with that.
But every Christian person knows you're going to get.
Right.
You want to participate in life in any way, you're going to get the weird classes and.
Certainly.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of really good ones, and a lot of really great people in our area who were Christian and that were teaching the classes. So that was amazing.
Yeah.
So you could get certified, and then yes, children could start coming to your home.
I want to get back to the phones. Kimberly Hinkle, our guest. Lisa is in La Crescent City, Minnesota, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Lisa, you're very welcome here. Go ahead with your question for Kimberly.
Thank you for taking my call. So I'm the lucky mom of two Korean-born kids who are now adults, and I'm wondering how we make adoption a first choice instead of a second choice. A lot of adoptions are happening because of fertility issues, And sadly, children grow up and learn that their adoption was kind of a second choice. So how do we make that a first choice?
So it's interesting. I've heard people say, adoption, was not on the radar at first. It was, they were trying to get pregnant, and then that didn't work out. But adoption ended up being plan A instead of plan B. People think adoption is kind of plan B, but no, it turned out to be, because I think it's to having that understanding of, God has a mission for each one of us, right? He has a mission for each one of us. He has a mission for each one of our marriages. And for some, he's going to bless with lots of biological children. So in that situation, I have friends who have lots of children who, are just not, they're definitely not called to adopt right now, So, yes, to just really look at it as, what is God calling our family to? And so we know that, our children were definitely not like a plan B. I mean, this was God's plan A for us. We could not have biological children. And when we first brought our child, our first child home, you know what it's like. We could not love him more than we do. We could not love our children more than we possibly already love them. And so, yes, I think pretty much anybody you talk to who's adopted would say, this is a plan, this is plan A, this is plan A. So just letting our children know, I think is so important that, the way I tell my children is that, mommy was so sad, I couldn't have a child. And it's like, we were so sad. And then God brought you to us. And we were just overjoyed. You made me a mother. And so they just know what a joy it was for us to adopt them. And I don't think they feel any kind of like second class or anything like that.
Lisa?
I think it, yeah, that's good to hear. In my family, my kids attended a Korean culture camp most of their, young rearing years. And during the teen years, when that identity issue really comes into play, that's where that second choice, first choice thing kind of raised its ugly head. So, my kids were, plan A for us too, for adoption. But it's just a tough topic. But I want to just say that adoption is wonderful. parenting is hard no matter where the kids come from. My heart goes out to the lady whose 19-year-old is finding her own direction, but that sometimes happens with biological kids too. So just keep loving her.
Oh yeah, I think that's. I'm so glad you said that, because realistically, parenting ain't going to be easy for any kid. So sometimes we can act like, about adoption's so wonderful, but it's not wonderful in the sense that you get a better kid. It's just you get a kid, and then you go through all the stuff that parents go through, and some of which is great, some of which is very difficult. But I'm glad for you bringing realism to it. But at the end of the day, it also is just wonderful. It's just a wonderful thing that happens in people's lives, and I'm glad to hear that it happened in your life, Lisa.
Oh well, thank you. Thanks for your taking my call today, and all the work you're doing with adoption. It's great.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I don't want it to come across like I don't like kids. I mean, I've learned to like them now that they're grown up. But I mean, let's not kid ourselves. It's a lot of work to raise a kid, and it's a lot of work to raise an adopted kid, just as much as it is for the other kind. But I say that with a sense of joy, that adoption gets you into the mess of parenthood, but it doesn't make it less a mess. It's still a mess.
Yep.
Okay. No comment on that from Kimberly. Kimberly, tell us where people can find out more about what you do and maybe learn about whether they are called to be adoptive or foster parents.
We actually have a foster and adoption discernment retreat, a free one, on our website called Be Not Afraid. And so people can come to springsoflove.org and sign up for that. You can watch our video stories, which are also on EWTN On Demand and Formed. They're also on our website. And we've got parenting classes and just trying to create more community and support for those who have fostered and adopting.
Springsoflove.org, springsoflove.org. Don't forget it. Go visit it. Thank you for helping us celebrate and remember National Adoption Month, Kimberly.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
And to all the children out there, I'm sure you're great kids, all right? Just because I have a bad attitude about children doesn't mean anything about you. I'm sure you're a great kid. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.